Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, this is Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today, and I'm blessed to be sitting here with Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi.
And across the road over there is Becky Brown.
Not far.
Hello.
Hey,
a little
Becky.
Bit down the road.
Thank you for technology.
Yes.
Hey, in devotions this morning, we talked about our New Year greeting. And our common New Year greeting is Happy New Year. And there was a challenge made that maybe that's not the best greeting because we're not called to be happy. There's a lot of things we think we might be called to. One of them, I think we all live a life where we think we're called to comfort. And I don't think that's the case either. I think the real calling on our lives is to be holy. And so, you know, how do we do that? Well, I don't want to get into that as much as I want to get into this comfort issue. Because it's too easy to make an excuse that I'm not comfortable, so I'm not going to do something. And if we think about what God did, He brought Jesus to this world, and Jesus lived a very uncomfortable life to the point of death on the cross. So what is it, ladies, that causes people to stick to comfort, not to do what maybe we're called to do and get out of our comfort zone?
Well, I even think the comfort that we talk about is an illusion, because what is comfortable to us is probably just what we know, what's familiar. But long term, that's not comfortable if we just stick with how we are, if we don't move out of our supposed comfort zone. It's actually a disaster for a lot of misery down the road. And being willing to take risks to supposedly be uncomfortable is what leads to the true fulfillment and blessing and much deeper, greater happiness.
Becky? Well, and sometimes even in our comfort zones, we are miserable.
Yes.
And so it's funny because, you know, you hear stories about people just struggling, but they are happy just the way they are. But, you know, one of the things about changing your comfort zone, we think of it as being this big, gigantic leap. And in reality, all we have to do is one little thing to disrupt the cycle. And, you know, our faith, Larry, in devotions this morning, you said something that's still in my mind, where we put our faith in God's activity rather than in His identity. Knowing that He is faithful, that He is able, that He will bring us to where we need to be. And it's the truth. And so in our comfort zone, if we're focused on God's identity, we're going to trust Him to take those small steps, those big steps, and find our new life.
Larry, you were saying before the show that we have to fake it till we make it. And I'll add to that the idea from the 12-step groups, you suit up. And you show up. You don't wait to be comfortable. You step out to take the risk because that's where the healing and the growth will come from.
Yeah. Part of what I was talking about in two were staff members on both sides of the country, the Texas and the California side. We do staff devotions, and there's like four or five people that do them every time. And there's about 30 people that never step up and do it because they're not comfortable doing it. And I encourage them, but I don't think anything's going to change. But we'll see. Terry's chuckling over here. He's shaking his head no.
Terry will be the first one to sign up.
I think so.
That's what's going to happen.
We're going to do that. But Becky, you gave a quote. You thank your sister for this one. It said, "Am I strong enough to let it go?"
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that because it's the paradox of strength and letting go. They don't go together, but they do. Because our strength is in Christ. It's not in us. And if we're strong enough, we'll depend upon that. But hey, we're taking calls. We're going to go to a call right after the break, and we hope a few more of you will give us a call, 800-229-3000, and you'll get a lot of wisdom from Becky and Alice. So give us a call, and we'll be right back and talk to Stephanie.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to talk to Stephanie, Morristown, New Jersey, listens on the Philadelphia station, WFIL. How can we help you, Stephanie?
Yes, hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I have a 14-year-old granddaughter, and she's cutting herself. What can I do, or what can we do to help her?
Stephanie, would you tell us the story that might be leading to the way she's dealing with pain by cutting?
She's not living with me. She's living in Florida. And we know about this prior, but we thought that she was getting some form of help, but come to think about it, she wasn't. And I spoke to her like a couple of days ago before Christmas, and I just came up and asked her, to tell me the truth, is she still cutting herself? And she said, yes. I said to her, what causes her to do it? And so when she feels overwhelmed, she said she can't cry, she can't scream, so that's the only release she has. I know this is serious, but I just don't know what to do. What do I do? I try to encourage her, but I don't. I know she needs help, because if she don't get help, I think something bad might happen. I don't know.
Stephanie, I praise you that you had the courage to ask so bluntly, because most of us are afraid to ask, because what do we do with the information? But apparently there's enough trust between you and your granddaughter that she was willing to admit it and even explain why. What's happening in her home life with her parents? What are some of the problems that might be going on right now?
You know, I don't know what the problem is, but I think it's mostly school. She's saying that she has so much pressure in school. Mother and her mom and dad is not together. She remarried and she has other siblings and so forth and so on. But that's basically what she told me. She said that, you know, the pressure in school, and she feels overwhelmed. And so I'm telling her that when you feel overwhelmed, you can always pick up the phone and call me and, you know, talk to me and so forth and so on. And she have other avenue, but I'm not sure why she's not using her sister. She has younger aunts, like around almost her age. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm heartbroken.
Stephanie,
I just don't know where to go.
You like what Alice just said, you are asking all the right questions. You're wading into the water with her. And one of the reasons why people cut is to express the pain that they can't express otherwise. And she said she's not able to cry. She's got all these feelings bottled up. So connecting her with people where she can express, and it may be you. It may be that you do a daily check-in and help her to name the feelings that she has. You know, we have... we talk about the soul word list that is in How We Love. A lot of times we just need to help them understand or even identify what they are feeling. It's just feelings kind of they take up a lot of space. And when we go into cutting, it's to relieve the big feelings. But she is able to recognize that that's why she's doing it. But I would suggest connecting her with maybe some of those people that are local, like her aunts, or even if you can get her to talk to a school counselor, a personal counselor. I think those would be good next steps.
Right, yes.
Stephanie, which one of her parents is your child?
The father.
And is he active in her life?
Very active.
And does she mainly live with her mom?
Yeah, she does.
So I want to expand your assumption. I'm certain that school is causing her a lot of pressure. It doesn't tend to be one sole reason why a person goes to the extent of cutting. And the fact that her parents are divorced, she has step-siblings, it causes so much upheaval, as you know, in a child's head and heart. And if she can't bring her emotions to her parents, those should be the main safe people, of course, to whom a child can reveal their heart. Have you brought this to your son's attention or your ex-daughter-in-law's attention? How did those conversations go?
Yeah, I spoke to my son, and I told him, I said, we have to get some help for her. We have to be able to reach her and find out what's exactly the deeper, deeper root, like you said. He said he knows, but I think because it's so new for us, and he's just 40, and I think we don't know what to do. It's like, we tell her that she can always come to us and talk to us about any and everything, and we just don't know if we're doing the right thing, we're saying the right thing, and so forth. And I know she talked to her mom, but I'm not sure she's going into depth and talk to her mom about it.
How would it be for you to increase the urgency with your son and or your ex-daughter-in-law by bringing it to their attention yet again? And I want to explain what you might share with them. Cutting is often not a suicidal gesture, but it can be, or it can lead in that direction. And it's a very scary question to ask a child. Have you ever had thoughts of wanting to die or wanting to take your life? But given her current level of pain, it's a very necessary question to ask with possibly a very frightening answer. But you and her parents need to know what the answer is to that question so you can determine the level of risk that's happening right now as she is cutting. And so how would it be for you to bring that to your son and ex-daughter-in-law's attention and increase that urgency?
Yes, I could talk to them, absolutely.
I agree with that, Alice. I think that is your next step, Stephanie. You have to have people who are nearby. It's got to add to your anxiety because you are far away from her, but you have a connection with her. But if you can enlist the help of the people that are around her on a daily basis, and this isn't something, you know, okay, we just talked about it. No, there has to be a plan and a process so that your granddaughter feels supported and has a pathway to just experiencing that support and having better ways to deal with the struggles that she's going through.
Stephanie, you might consider providing some financial help to fund therapy. There may be many reasons why her parents seemingly haven't pursued that course, but you probably know about our network of counselors, and it's all over the country. And so we could connect her parents with a therapist in her area who has the skills to help strategize and lead them through this process. Because when we see one sign of significant pain, we need to assume that there may be other things or other unhealthy ways of coping that are taking place for this child to be able to make it day by day. So we have to take it so seriously as you are, but help her parents to take it seriously also.
Great idea. Good ideas, ladies.
Yes.
Becky, what book comes to your mind to help?
I was thinking of Jill's Secrets Young Women Keep.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Because it could help the parents, could help grandma, you know, just to understand. You know, to your point, Alice, your granddaughter, Stephanie, is carrying the weight of all the pressures. And sometimes that happens in families where you'll have one identified person who's feeling all of the feelings of whatever is going on. And if she doesn't have the skill set to, you know, process those feelings, feel them, let them go, identify them, that's where a lot of the cutting will come in because it has to be expressed somewhere. And this could be, a way for the family to get healthy, all of them.
Hey, Stephanie, we'll send that book to you, Secrets Young Women Keep by Dr. Jill Hubbard. And thank you for calling us today. We're going to go talk to Sally next. Sally is in Dallas, Texas, watches us on YouTube. Sally, how can we help you?
Hello, hello, hello. Hi. I needed some guidance on my next steps. I've been married 23 years, and I believe that, you know, I cannot trust my husband. And so...
Why not?
I looked at this because of just his past. You know, he's had an emotional affair at work, and he says it was nothing, but anyway, so he's had that, and just a lot of other things that he's done, you know, taking his wedding ring off and putting it in his pocket, things like that, and many, 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 many more, but I don't give up, I'm giving up.
Mm. So what's your question for us?
Because Well, just real quick, I wanted to let you know that, you know, the things that he's done, I forgive him, and I already told him that the thing that hurts me the most is that he doesn't see that he's done anything wrong. He except the one at work. All the other things he won't admit to. I mean, he denies everything, and he deflects, and he, you know, puts it back on me when we have a talk about it, and it's never fault. And I just feel like, I mean, I've had read so many books. I've tried to be the Proverbs 31 wife. I've done so much, and he has participated in some things, but not for long, like counseling. He doesn't want to go back to counseling. I mean, we only went 2 times. Things like that. I just feel like I keep trying, and I can't give no more.
I'm so sorry.
You know, yeah. That
well,
hurts.
Sally, well, and what I want to know is, what was this final straw? Are you just exhausted from the many attempts and him not responding, or was there one more offense that just was, I'm done, I can't do this anymore?
He's pretty sneaky, and just felt like maybe he and someone in our neighborhood has been talking, and that right there, blew it for me. I just felt like I can't do anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate to give up because I'm not that person, but.
And Sally, when you have told him that you're considering divorce, how does he respond?
Well, we've talked about it a couple of times, maybe just separating, but we haven't really talked about divorce. I don't know if I want to separate. I feel like, what's that going to do? I mean, he may change. I don't know. I don't think he will, but. I just don't know where to go. And so my next steps, I don't know what to do, like as far as a lawyer or finances.
Well, it could be all of those things, Sally. It could be that you go to the lawyer, you talk about, you know, what the options are. A lot of times women feel stuck because of financial challenges or changes that will occur because of divorce or separation. I am thinking that you're going to have another conversation with him, whether it's about divorce or separation, but there's got to be a line. And you know, sometimes people respond to the line. They say, you're right, I'm wrong, I need to straighten up. Now, you know, I wish I could say 100%, it happens. But it would be important for you to prepare in a way, whether it's your own personal counseling. Maybe you invite him to one more session and say, this is the make or break right here. I can't trust you. I need you to go to every man's battle. I need clarity in order for us to go forward. But, it's a tough place to be, and you're exhausted from having to manage this distrust for so long.
Maybe it's asking him to come to the marriage workshop with you, intimacy and marriage. And if he was not willing to do something, then maybe you make that step of, we need to separate and do something.
Yeah.
Sally, you have run out of energy and desire and motivation, and rightly so, after all of these years of what very clearly seems to be ongoing infidelity at some level and complete lack of willingness on his part to do much about it. And so if it's the case that he has been unfaithful, you certainly have biblical grounds to pursue a divorce. And you're not obligated to take these other steps of separation or inviting him to therapy yet again. That hasn't seemed to work before. But let's look for a moment at why you might pause the pursuit of the divorce, even though you have the right to do so. God hates divorce because of all of the pain and problems it causes us. And sometimes it seems like the only solution. But the reason God asks us to set up incremental, increasing, strengthening boundaries is because if there's any chance of salvaging a marriage, it is the better route than divorce because of all the pain and the cost that divorce causes. Divorce is never a great solution. Sometimes it's a necessary solution we have to take. But we propose these other steps first because of the possibility of your husband's conscience being pricked because because it would be better for the whole family, of course, if he would ever take responsibility for this. And after you've taken the steps that we are proposing, you can pursue a divorce with a clearer conscience if your husband still doesn't change. We're asking a lot of you, but it will save you from greater pain if you follow God's path.
Okay, well, we'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Well, Sally, we want to send you Dr. Sherry Kiffer's book, Intimate Deception.
And perfect.
I hope that helps. There's a lot in that book, and I think with the weariness and the pain that you're feeling, that you'll feel understood and that you're not alone, and there are ways out of what you're dealing with.
And please consider joining us for Restore February 24th in Orange County, because the sisterhood there and what we're able to do for you at that weekend will really revive your spirit.
You know, before going back to a call, I just want to remind folks, we are having an emotional freedom workshop. It's online via Zoom. It's one day. And if you register by January the 6th, you can save $120 on your registration. And the date of that workshop is, how come I can't find it, January 21st online. It's a Saturday. Real easy to do. Even non-technological people can do this. It's really an easy thing. No travel, no hotels. Just find a spot in your home, get your computer out, and you're in. So sign up today. Now, we want to go, and we're going to talk to Gary. Gary is calling us from Pueblo, Colorado on KGFT. Hey, Gary, how are you doing? What can we do?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a relative. He's 58 years old, and he's suffering from anxiety, and he's gone through some heart surgery. He lives alone, and sometimes he's afraid to ask for help, so I'm kind of getting a little worried about him. And I guess my question would be, would you be able to guide me with some counselors or a network of medical doctors in the Denver area that could help with if he's suffering from a depression or chemical imbalance? And what would you recommend as a first step?
We have some great counselors in Denver, Gary, and all of those things that you describe are connected. It's very well known that our physical body reacts to anxiety. Anxiety impacts our physical body, and the isolation also multiplies all of that. And it could be everything from whether it's an emotional issue that he's dealing with, or it could be the medical intervention, you know, because sometimes, you know, blood pressure or heart medicine can have side effects. But I think you're being a very good relative by connecting him with help. And I don't know if you're close. Do you live by him, or are you quite a ways away?
He lives up in the Denver area, and I live in Pueblo, about 100 miles away.
Okay. So maybe, I mean, obviously, you know, a weekly visit might be much to ask, but maybe, you know, once every other week or something, just connecting. It's amazing how much isolation impacts us physically, emotionally, spiritually. And I think we minimize that a lot. And but we'll connect you with a counselor in that area for sure. And then they will probably be able to help him with the next steps as far as, you know, what other resources they might know in the area.
Gary,
that'd be great.
Do you know some of this, such as the anxiety, because your relative has told you about it and has opened up to you a little?
I have conversation with him, and he's tried different things. In fact, right now he's got a heart monitor on, so if he has some type of anxiety or he gets lightheaded, he's not sleeping well. He doesn't seem to get his REM sleep. So he wakes up okay, and then after a few minutes, once he gets up, he's just foggy all day. He just can't quite function very good. And he's been working at home since, you know, COVID. He hasn't really gone back to work. So, you know, I was just kind of hoping that after his surgery, he would have gotten better. But sleep deprivation seems to be one of the biggest things that I notice with him just in conversation.
And all that you're describing is such a vicious cycle, and one symptom exacerbates mm-hmm. the other symptom, and so it can really spiral. And so your concern is well placed here in your desire to help him. How receptive do you think he would be if you recommended therapy and linked him with us so we could connect him with a clinician?
I think he's ready to go there. I think he's at wit's end. He's been trying different things. His family physician retired, so he doesn't really have a trustworthy type of doctor now that can, you know, refer him to things. And he's kind of looking for honest doctor in the area there now to be his main physician. I think he would be receptive to something like this.
In addition to an individual therapist, our Emotional Freedom Workshop, which is coming up so soon, I think would also be a great fit for him. And our workshops link our attendees into community groups that they can continue to participate in after the weekend is over. And so it's like a built-in, accessible community that's right there. And even if they're spread out distance-wise, but with technology like we were talking about, it makes it so much easier to get connected and stay connected. And relationships are the main antidote to anxiety, particularly opening up and being honest about what he's going through. So I think both of those would be great solutions for him.
That's a great idea. That's January 21, and like we were just commenting earlier, if he signs up by January 6, he gets $120 off. But the connection that comes from that, and I'm always surprised because we get a lot of great comments from the men that come to this. A lot of our workshops are more, the women kind of drive getting there, getting somebody there. But guys come because they need it, they want help, and we get wonderful responses about first time in their life they ever felt connected, and they love it. So I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much for your time and your advice.
Okay. Well, we'll send you Take Your Life Back for you, for your brother, and I hope that helps. But we'll come back right after this and take another call. Thanks.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back, and we are going to take a call. But before we do, it's still 19. Listen to me.
Uh-oh.
We were talking about New Year's. Oh, my goodness.
Send help in
yes,
for us.
Yes, please do. It's still 2022. And you're still able to make a year-end gift, and if you're motivated by tax deductions, this is the time to make your gift. And if you want to mail it, please make sure that it's postmarked in this calendar year. If you write a check out dated today and mail that check on January 3rd, you are not going to be able to claim that as a legitimate tax deduction. But anyway, we can use your help. Year-end giving is always strong. We want it to be stronger than ever, so we can do more than ever as we enter into the new year, because we got a lot planned. It's our 35th anniversary year. 35 years next year is that we'll be celebrating. We actually started the 35th year in November. But help us out. Make a gift. You can join Club New Life. You can make a one-time gift, however you want to give. God will bless it, and you'll feel better, too. I always feel better when I make my giving. So now we have lines open. We're going to go take a call from Michelle, but there's also lines open. Give us a call, 800-229-3000, and Becky and Alice will give you the best solutions to your life's issues that you could ever imagine. No pressure, ladies. Okay, let's see. We're talking with Michelle, calling in Oklahoma, KWRD. Listen to the Dallas station. How are you doing? How can we help you, Michelle?
I'm doing pretty good. I have a question, but I'm going to kind of give you a short background. I have an adult son who's 24 years of age, who is a severe alcoholic. Mm. Has been diagnosed bipolar in that process. I've given till I'm give out. It's affected my physical health. It's really hard to know what role to play. Now, before we get into all the millions of resources available, he's non-compliant medically. He won't go to counseling. He has recently suffered a shattered leg. He's wheelchair-bound. He refuses physical therapy. So that's compounded the sitting and drinking and the mental issues and having lots of isolation. So basically what I want to know is how I prepare. This is the thing no one can answer for me. I know all about the counseling. I know about medications. I know about rehab. I know about EODing him. I know all that. He's unwilling, and I'm wore out. So how do I prepare for his death?
Oh,
how do I prepare for finding him in his home? And how do I prepare, how do I deal with this grief I'm already experiencing? Because it's working on me.
Because Michelle, what kind of...
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm negative and that's what's going to happen, but he's not making any headway in any way. And I've prayed until I'm blue in the face. And if you say, will he go to counseling? No. Will he go to the doctor? No. Will he take medication?
We get it. We get it, Michelle, and we hear the frustration. I want to know, do you have any help for you? Because it is so hard to deal with a non-compliant, someone who's, you know, resistant to all your help. Are you getting the support that you need?
Well, my therapist is on vacation right now, but I have underlying health conditions, and this is not to say I'm fragile in any sense of the word, but
no,
here
I get
recently, and I've had COVID. I've had COVID, and it's kind of affected my heart a little bit. So, what I'm getting at is, mental exhaustion and distraction is overwhelming enough, but it's really impacting my physical health at this point.
Right. Well, what I'm suggesting, Michelle, is something a little bit different, and I'm thinking in terms of a life recovery group or an Al-Anon group where you hear that you are, you know, you're not alone. Preparing for his death may be a distraction from the work that you need to do for your own strength. A lot of times when we're in relationship with someone who is struggling with addiction of any kind, we forget about ourselves and we're focused on what they should be doing. And you just listed all the things that you've already tried to do and he's unwilling. One of my questions was going to be, who is supplying him with his drug of choice, which is alcohol, if he's wheelchair bound. But I'm sure that there's lots of... drive-in services. But my recommendation for you would be to get connected with a life recovery group or an Al-Anon group so that you can begin to heal. And in the same way, you would be preparing for what your question was about, is what am I going to do when he goes too far?
Michelle, as we hear also the anger in your voice, and it's a righteous anger against his unwillingness, against the addiction, against probably the people that have not shown up as you needed them to help intervene with your son. Think about with me, with whom are you most angry? And check on God, yourself, and other prominent people in your life. With whom are you most angry?
Well, I'm the kind of person that I feel like I failed him as a mother, that it's all my fault, and he has an absent father, and I feel guilty for picking someone that is unavailable. And then I'm angry with God when I have friends that are kids are going to law school. I don't know, I shouldn't be jealous. I'm happy for people.
Mm.
And so he doesn't have a father figure. I feel so guilty for that.
Mm.
And I am tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I am angry with God. Because I have... Why can't I... Do you think I haven't prayed? And when the kids pray, Misty, it's going to be fine.
Right, right.
No, you don't get it. It's not like your son who went to a frat party and you're concerned this weekend that he had too much to drink. My son... when he was in the hospital with his shattered leg, he immediately had withdrawal. They had to get him medication to keep him from having seizures. It's not just he has lesions up and down his body because his liver is malfunctioned.
Yeah.
Michelle, it is just agonizing to see what your son is going through and that God isn't stopping it. And your son's father isn't active with you, fighting this with you. And I want you to notice something that happened. When I asked you about your anger, some of it turned to tears. And those tears are so necessary in order for you to grieve what is taking place and to grieve potentially his early death, because you're right, that might happen if he continues to make these choices. So, sister, I need you to keep being angry, expressing your anger with your therapist, and then allowing the tears to treat your anger. You might even consider writing a letter to your son, even if you've said all this to him before, expressing all of your regret, because of course you've been an imperfect mom despite your best attempts, and so you may need to apologize again for your part, and who knows what kind of a healing effect that may have on your son's heart and soul. It's worth another attempt. And then I want you to write another letter to God about how angry you are that he hasn't seemed to answer any of your prayers. And lastly, consider with your therapist how you might help allow more holy pain in your son's life. And what an awful thing for a mother to have to do. But your son hasn't yet hit bottom. And so if there are any ways that you're financially supporting your son, if there's any enabling that's still going on, removing that and allowing in more holy pain may be necessary for your son to hit his bottom. We have interventionists that we work with that help to strategize. Is there any way to add more pain, to allow more holy pain, so that your son can get to that bottom? And so we can connect you with our interventionist if you'd be willing to consider that.
I really want to impress, Michelle, I just really want to impress on you the need for community for you right now. All of the things that Alice has suggested is very good. I don't want you to be alone, though, in the process. And so getting into a group will connect you with the Life Recovery Group. You need community. This you're looking at other people thinking that, you know, you're the only one. You're not the only one. And there is power in that community. And you know, I hear your heart. My heart breaks for you.
And this
situation, and I think there's still hope, though. I know that there's still hope.
And a lot of that hope will be improved and helped when you find the group that Becky was talking about.
Mm-hmm. We'll get you connected to one.
Yeah,
we'll find you one.
You need some people around you to help your heart and for whatever happens. And I'm not going to give up on your son. God's not going to do a miracle.
That's right.
And they come in various ways. You know, I always say God works by surprises and interruptions. And somewhere along the line, God will surprise you. He'll interrupt something, and something will happen. That's my prayer. And I know that you've prayed that a million times.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make it a million one, and then a million two, and not let go of that. What can we send her? What comes to
understanding and loving a person with a chemical addiction. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to send that book to you. And thank you so much for calling. We'd love it that you called us. We're going to be right back, and we'll take another call here to finish the show off. But we're so glad you're listening, and we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And before we go on, I just want to remind folks that there is an Every Man's Battle workshop coming real quick. It's the first weekend in January. January 6th in Washington, D.C. is when it starts. And guys, we need you to be there. And women, I know you want your guys that are struggling to be there. So start it off with a phone call. 800-NEW-LIFE, 800-639-5433. We've got other workshops coming, Intimacy and Marriage here in Orange County in February, Restore in February here in Orange County. It's a nice place to be in those winter months. So give us a call and let us help you. Okay, let's go to Chris in Fort Worth, Texas. He listens on the Word,
Hello.
KWRD. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed, thank you. I'm calling not for what you can do for me, but I want to share a praise report. About a year and a half ago, I shared my story on the radio, and not just because of the way the Spirit moves, everybody was crying, even the people on the radio station after I called. But there, Steve gave me a scholarship to Every Man's Battle.
Okay.
And
you went?
I said, okay. Yes, I went, and I met you there. Anyway, after Every Man's Battle, I've kept on with the Band of Brothers and Sustained
yes,
Victory.
Yes.
And just keep on in the battle. And the praise report is too, because God works in mysterious ways. So when I shared last time, I said I had a prison ministry. We sent out, my wife and I, 30 books to the prisons for Christmas.
Mm.
I cannot tell you the tears and the testimonies that are coming back from those guys that, you know, we sent the books to. And
that's
so
fabulous. You're paying it forward. Thank you.
And then the last one is, you know, my wife, last year I told her after the new man's, Every Man's Battle, not her, dad read the book about her trust, gaining her trust back. I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, maybe it'd be a good idea if you go to Restore.
Oh.
And she put it on the back burner. Mm. And for whatever reason, you know, I know she because she has a new life counselor out here. And the counselor told her, you know, you need to go to Restore. And so she's going to Restore in February.
All right.
But how God works is that my two sisters who live in California, who will gain a lot from Restore, and I was hoping how one day I could tell them they're going.
Oh, a family affair. Wonderful.
So I just want to give thanks to God for New Life.
Amen.
And for what he's doing in my life.
Oh, well, thank
Amen.
You. Thank
Gosh,
you for
Chris.
Sharing that.
Chris, you are, you know, you're allowing grace to multiply through you, and it is spreading to your family, to the inmates in prison. And it's because you're putting into practice what you're hearing. Too many times we hear about people who say, I've listened for 20 years, but I haven't done any of it yet. Chris, you are doing it. You're walking the walk, and it's producing fruit. Thank you for being that kind of man.
Chris, there's a passage.
But I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
No, it is, we're all going to be struggling and not there yet. As long as we live, there's always going to be more. You just keep working at it. Hang in there with Sustained Victory. That's one of the best things, mm-hmm. best decisions you mm-hmm. could have made. And I want to share
yes,
the scripture that talks about you.
Hmm.
1 Timothy 6:18-19. It says, tell them to use their money to do good.
Hmm.
They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they'll be storing up their treasures as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. And that's what you've done. That's what you're doing. And you're the caller of the day and the hero of the day, Chris.
Can we send him the soul of a hero, Larry?
Sure we can. That book will be coming to you. So
I have that. When I thank you very much. I had that because when I went to Every Man's Battle, I was not going to miss out on the resources they had there. And you know, there's some that I don't want to touch right now. You know, that into Samisi, I don't want to touch it. And I told the guys this morning, I'm not ready. I'm not mm-hmm. there yet to learn about intimacy because, like the counselor told me and my wife, she's got to work through her for a while, and I got to work on me for a while. So my New Year's my New Year's hope and prayer is that our intimacy and our marriage will be where God wants it to be.
Well, you know, we're going to have an intimacy in marriage this year. I don't remember the date, in Dallas, Texas. And that might be the next step after your wife does Restore for you guys together to go to that and really understand what intimacy is and that it's not just a sexual intimacy. Intimacy is so much more than that.
Well, and Larry, to that point, we say at Every Man's Battle, addiction is an intimacy disorder.
Yeah.
It keeps us from being fully known and fully seen. And that's the part, Chris, that you're learning about now. And I appreciate your humility in your journey, but also just your persistence, because it does take one day at a time. And others are being blessed by your ministry as well.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Chris. I don't know off the top of my head what we can send you, but we might surprise you and think of a book, and we'll send something to you to help you out. Okay?
Maybe the one-year Bible for men. He probably doesn't have that because it didn't. Yeah, it didn't come out when he was there. So.
All right. Thanks, Becky. Okay, folks. Well, thank you for listening. We just got a couple more minutes. A couple more reminders. Every Man's Battle, January 6, Washington D.C. Emotional Freedom Online, January 21. And again, Every Man's Battle, that's the whole weekend, 6, 7, and 8. Emotional Freedom, though, is one day because it's online, January 21. Call now. You can save $120 on your registration. Intimacy and Marriage is right after Valentine's Day, February 17 to 19, right here in Orange County. And if you are suffering from the below zeros that have been sweeping the nation, it was 81 degrees at my home on Christmas Day. So think about Orange County for some nice weathers, along with the amazing workshop. Restore is February 24th to 26th in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do a Lose It for Life online workshop in March, March the 18th. A lot going on here at New Life.
You know what, Larry? I always think about the folks that either have gone to a workshop or maybe they think, I don't need to go to a workshop. You know, there are so many things that you can be doing to make a difference in your life. And as we look at a new year, you know, we're talking about resolutions, we're talking about, you know, goal setting, all that kind of thing. You know, maybe just pick one thing. You know, whether it's I'm going to, you know, do a devotional every day, or I'm going to start reading scripture every day. Maybe I need to connect with somebody every day. You know, we talk about connection all the time. Connection, truth, and transformation. Those are the things that we've been talking about for 35 years. And the reason we talk about it is because we know that they are all elements of that life that God has planned for us. And he wants, just like what Chris was just saying, when he transforms us, we begin to work in the way that he has designed us to work, and we bless the world that we live in. And I just want to encourage you, if you're listening, and maybe a workshop's not for you, we would love for you to be there, but do something. Make a difference so that your life is different and those around you, their lives are different as well.
Becky, you mentioned devotionals. We only have probably 246 devotions.
At least.
Our book
352.
Yeah, I think. There you go. But, you know, we have so many 100 days from anger, from grief, from...
anxiety.
Yeah, from
depression,
shame. Yeah.
Healing, all the things.
Whatever you might be struggling with, or maybe it's just 100 days of character. You want to get a stronger character.
Right?
But consider a devotional. Start the year with that. Make it a habit. And folks, if you still haven't made your year-end giving, it's not too late. Make a gift to New Life. You can do it online. You can do it by calling 800-NEW-LIFE. Or you can still put a check in the mail as long as it gets postmarked this year. Thank you. Have a great new year. And we will see you on the other side. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.